Let's welcome Grace as she comes up to preach. Manage. These are a wee bit precarious, these stands this morning, so there you go. We're all good. So let's just pray for Grace as she shares the word this morning, and then I'll pass over. Lord, we thank you for Grace. We thank you that she's here this morning, ready with a word from you to share it with us. And I pray that you would just equip her, that you would give her the words that, that she needs to be able to speak your truth out, and that we would all just receive what you have for us from her, through her, Lord, that you're using her this morning, and that you would bless her in that as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. Thank you. Our passage this morning, let's see. Yeah. Our passage this morning is Luke chapter 13, and it's verses 10 to 17. I'm just going to read it out, and in case it doesn't sound the same, I'm reading from the New King James. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I don't know about you, but I've been really interested in the fact that our leaders have organised a 6-week teaching series on encounters with Jesus. What might their hearts be for us in this decision? To me, it suggests that they want us to encounter Jesus. And I'm grateful to them for that. But I've got just a little question. It's been buzzing around in my mind as I've read and reread this text from Luke 13. My question is this: what kind of encounter with Jesus might we have? Because you see, in this passage, I can see at least 3 different types of encounter with Jesus. We have the woman, we have the synagogue leader, and we have the crowd. They all encounter Jesus. Our passage this morning begins by telling us that it's the Sabbath, and Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues. It's the day of rest. Jesus is in the house of God, and those who encounter him are also there. It's not exactly clear where or what town this synagogue is in, but what we do know is that Jesus is teaching in a synagogue. I wonder what he was teaching. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and we have no idea what he taught. No one tells us. I think that that's really quite fascinating. We have a record of the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, taught in the synagogue, and yet his actual words are lost to history. It's quite something, really, isn't it? We don't know what he said. Whatever Jesus was teaching that day got completely overshadowed by what he did. You see, Jesus, our Jesus, he didn't just come teaching. He came and he demonstrated the power of the kingdom of God. His words are completely overshadowed, completely lost to history because of the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God. Oh, that that's what would happen this morning, and none of you can remember a word I say. While Jesus was teaching, although maybe it'd be good to remember something, while Jesus was teaching, he was probably sitting, because in those days, the teacher sat when they taught. As he was sitting, he was speaking. And there on the edge of the crowd, he sees a woman. A woman all bent over, eyes to the ground, unable to straighten herself up. Our passage tells us she had been like this for 18 years. She was stuck and unable to straighten herself up for 18 years. I wonder what that had been like for her, to have been stuck for so long. In Jesus' day, sickness was often seen to be a sign of sin. And so it's likely she'd found herself judged by those around her. Perhaps she'd lost friends, perhaps even family. So on top of any physical pain she experienced, she may have had the agony of rejection, isolation, and loneliness to deal with. And yet, here she is, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath, with the same view that she's had for the last 18 years, her own feet and the dirt. But then, suddenly, Jesus sees her and stops his teaching. He stands and calls her over. Come here, he says. The synagogue quietens. People look to see what's going on. They start to ask each other questions. Why has the teacher stopped speaking? I don't know. Who's he looking at? Why is that silly woman shuffling over towards him? But the crowd parts and lets her through to Jesus. Jesus looks at her, and if she had been able to see his eyes, she would have found them to be full of compassion, full of love for her. But she can only see the ground because she's stuck. And she can't do anything to get herself unstuck. Yet she feels such a longing to see this man's face, this man who has spoken to her. It seems so long since anyone has spoken to her with such kindness in their voice. And then he speaks again. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity, her heart leapt. And then Jesus puts his hands upon her. And suddenly she is standing upright and she can see him. For the first time in 18 years, she was able to look at something other than the ground. She has been unstuck. She stood there and looked into Jesus' eyes. And as she stood there, upright, for the first time in 18 years, 18 long years, what did she see? What did she see? As she stood there that day in the presence of Jesus and looked into his eyes, what she saw was herself reflected back at her. She saw herself in Jesus' eyes. She saw herself because she is part of Jesus' vision. And as she looked and looked deep into the eyes of this man who had healed her and straightened out her life, she saw herself the way Jesus saw her. free. Completely free from pain and infirmity. Totally free from all that had kept her down these last 18 years. Free from the person she thought she was. Free to be the person she is. And as she kept looking in Jesus' eyes, she caught a glimpse of something else. She saw a cross. And she saw Jesus nailed to it, with all her sin, all her pain, all those long years of agony, physical, emotional, spiritual agony. It was all there with him on the cross. She saw it. And as she stood free and upright and looked into his eyes, she knew. She knew then that her healer, her deliverer, her savior would die. That he would die with the look of her in his eyes. That he would die with her in his gaze, with her in his vision. But she also saw and knew that he would not stay dead. No, she saw that he would rise again, that he would live again. She knew he would bring fullness of life for all, and that what she was experiencing right now was the first fruits of that resurrection life. She was free, and she saw that in Jesus' eyes. She has a new life ahead of her. She is a new creation. All the old has gone, and the new has come. She saw that when she looked at Jesus. As the passage moves on, the woman kind of disappears from view. The scene turns to the synagogue leader's indignant criticism. He doesn't like what's just happened. As the leader of the synagogue, he knows the law of Moses. He knows that the Sabbath is a day for rest. Basically, he knows how things get done around here, and this isn't it. You see, the synagogue leader is also stuck. He's stuck in his way of thinking. He thinks he knows what's what, yet he doesn't know that he's in the presence of the Messiah. He doesn't recognize that he is having an encounter with Jesus. A new thing is happening and he does not perceive it. And the crowd? Well, right now they're cheering for Jesus, but crowds can be fickle. Later on, a crowd welcomes Jesus with cheers on Palm Sunday. Then a crowd shouts, "Crucify him," and bays for his life. You see, a crowd has a life of its own, and we can just end up floating along in a crowd. We can end up stuck, floating along with the everydayness of life, and then it's easy to forget who you are, to forget to come close and look into Jesus' eyes, to forget who you are in Christ, to forget that you are a beloved child of the Most High God. To forget that you are a daughter or a son of Abraham. We are inheritors of the covenant. You are an inheritor of the promises, all the promises of God. You are a co-heir with Christ. When you forget all that, you just end up floating along, stuck in the flow of whatever. If we want to know who we are, we have to come close and look him in the eyes. It's only when we come close and stand before Jesus one-to-one and look into his eyes, it's only then that you can really know how he sees you. It's only then that you can really know who he says you are. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It doesn't matter how anyone might be stuck. And I want you to know that I know what it is to be stuck. I have been stuck. I was stuck and depressed for many years, maybe not quite 18, but many. And there really was nothing I could do to get myself unstuck. But Jesus. No matter where you are, there's always but Jesus. But Jesus has unstuck me. He has set me free from all that kept me down. Jesus has freed me. You see, I don't want this to just be a load of words. I want you to know that the power of the kingdom of God is here, now. It doesn't matter how you might be stuck. Stuck in your body, our spirit, stuck in our thinking, or in the flow of whatever. The invitation from Jesus is the same. Come here. And maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'm not stuck. Yay, that's great. That's really great. And I'm so, so pleased. But you know what? The invitation from Jesus is actually just the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The invitation is for all of us to come here. Draw close. Draw closer. Come here so you can look into my eyes and see who you really are. I'm just going to pray just a minute. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are here for us all, wherever we are. In Jesus' name.